Well, the last couple of weeks we talked about the Christmas story, and we had one more session left, but sorry, we got very sick and we couldn't do last week. So we were kind of like really hesitating, didn't know what to do today. And then an angel of the Lord stood before me and texted me yesterday, and that was Albert, by the way. He texted me about one of my favorite verses in the Bible. So he's loving it too. And I called him an angel of the Lord. He texted me about one of truly my favorite verses in the Bible. If you come to my office, you will see on my computer screen a verse that I wrote myself. And the verse is from Psalm 16 and verse 8. If you want to go there. And the verse says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So in the next couple of weeks, we're just gonna go through this journey together. And the journey of the benefits of keeping our eyes on God all the time. This is not a seasonal thing. This is not a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. This is about keeping our eyes on God all the And then how do we keep our eyes on the Lord all the time? Okay, because this is it's fun, and especially hopefully when we talk about the benefits of keeping our eyes on God, hopefully it will encourage us and make us want to do this. But how do we do that is a completely different story. And then some of the obstacles that we will face to that will interrupt that focus on God. Okay, so we're looking forward to the next this week and maybe next couple of weeks just studying this together until God leads us to another place. So we'll start today with the benefits of keeping our eyes on the Lord, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is guiding us through this. So hopefully during when we list all the benefits that we have, hopefully that would turn something in us, like would open our eyes and our heart and how great it is that we can, that we would be willing to put in the work, and we would be willing to, stay away from any interruption and keep any obstacles and any obstacles we face that would be easy enough because now we realize how great it is to keep our eyes on God. Amen. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to talk about, one of the first benefits that we talk about keeping our eyes on God is keeping our eyes on God will help us against our enemies. Okay? Who here in this place does not have an enemy? Okay? If you attend church, we heard Pastor Albert a couple of weeks ago saying about the enemies we have. We have the enemy, we have the devil, we have the flesh, and we have the world. And we all have enemies. And one of the things that will help us defeat those enemies is keeping our eyes on God. So let me read to you, or Dina will read to you a few verses from 1 Samuel and verse 17, where we will see an actual enemy and the reaction of two different groups of people. So 1 Samuel 17, 41.
Okay, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. This is 1 Samuel 17, verse 41. Closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David with his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and to the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands.
See, this is the reaction of David when he saw Goliath. And if you read just a few verses before, you will see the reaction of the people of Israel who saw Goliath. Goliath was their enemy, and they saw how vicious, how strong, how big, how experienced Goliath is. And then for 40 days and 40 nights, they couldn't do a thing. And this is, and this young boy goes in just in a few minutes. He sees Goliath and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't, the equation does not fit. It doesn't work because he is seeing God and he's seeing Goliath. The difference between the two, the people of Israel, the army, the king, the soldiers, the officers, and all of them, I know you've heard the story a million times before, and I've heard it, and I've talked about it, but you and I still make that mistake sometimes daily, where we see the enemy much bigger than God, you know, where we don't keep our eyes on God. One of the most amazing things about seeing God all day long and keeping our eyes on God all day long and for the rest of our lives is that we see how big God is and how little the enemy is. While the people of Israel, with all of their might and all of their forces, couldn't even step forward to challenge Goliath or to challenge the Palestinian army, David comes in and it was such an easy, easy battle for him. It's like, are you crazy? Aren't you seeing God? Aren't you seeing that the battle is not mine, the battle is against God? He so quickly turned into God and saw how great and mighty God is, and how limited and fragile Goliath is. Keeping our eyes on God, and we will leave this open right now because I want this study to be very, very practical. This story here, there are millions of stories in the Bible, or maybe thousands of stories in the Bible, millions of stories that we've heard that will support what I'm saying right now. But I want this to be practical that you and I can take it tomorrow, you know, can take it tonight, because after this meeting or even during this meeting, you know, I know the enemy is not going to leave us alone. I know the enemy is going to start fighting. I know the enemy is going to start throwing attacks at us. And he is going to come with his loud voice and say the things that he's been saying for the last 40 days, the last 40 years, the last 10 years, however long it is. He's going to repeat himself over and over and over. And until we see God and until we see how big God is and we shut down the enemy, this is not going anywhere. The enemy of the people of Israel did not go anywhere. He stayed there doing the same thing over and over and over. And your enemy and my enemy will keep doing the same thing over and over until you and I turn our eyes to God and decide that God is bigger than him. So that's the first thing. Keeping our eyes on God will help us fight our enemies. I need questions or comments because I need to hear about this. Not scared of silence.
You know, one of the things that I thought of as you were saying that, is I thought of the disciples in Acts chapter 4 when they got arrested and they were told not to talk about Jesus, and yet they prayed for more boldness. So they knew who to turn to, and they knew that was greater than the enemy that was presenting itself.
I was thinking, I get confused, is it Elijah or Elisha? The one who prayed for the servant's eyes to open.
Elijah.
Yeah, he wasn't afraid because he knew and he saw what was with him, you know, the army that was with them to fight, where the servant couldn't see, but once his eyes was open and he saw, he had the confidence that he needed to fight, that they were going to win the battle.
Amen.
As you were mentioning the story of David, I'm thinking to myself that he probably didn't begin seeing God as soon as he saw Goliath. He'd been seeing God much earlier than that.
That's good.
And what helped him see God much bigger than Goliath was that his eyes were already on the Lord in a much, much bigger way, because there were some smaller tests before Goliath that came. There was a lion that came once, there was a bear that came once, and God enabled him and gave him the power and the strength to destroy those smaller enemies, which weren't small, by the way. If you and I saw a lion or a bear, it's pretty much over. But in comparison to this 9-foot, 10-foot giant, you know, so it comes to us in stages. God's not going to, you know, send us into a huge battle right at first. Our battles will come in stages, but his focus was on the Lord in the wilderness when he was with the sheep by himself. And I think he was called the sweet psalmist of Israel for a reason. And I know we're going to talk about this later, but it might be good to interject a little bit now. One of the things that helps us keep our eyes focused on God is our quiet times of worship the Lord. When we're worshiping him, when we're honoring him, when we're adoring him, he becomes magnified. He becomes so much bigger, because it's not like we're talking about, I can see the Lord with my physical eyes. That's not what he's talking about. But there's the eyes of the heart that are opened up to see God in a much more profound way. And that came in stages as he was worshiping God before the big fight came.
Amen. Amen. So what?
Gosha had a point.
I think more of a question. He went through all that, right? Or you go through things, and is it normal to still feel like, I still feel like fear grips me deep down inside, like if I want to be honest, you know, and it doesn't let go. And I know God is good, and I know God is mightier than what I'm fighting, and I know, but I can't help but know that there's still so much fear inside of me. And I can see God's victory. Like, I am living proof right now that God is able and that God is stronger and I have victory in him. But yes. I'd be a liar if I'd be saying that I'm not scared. I am afraid. And God tells me, don't be afraid. But this fear just won't, like, this grip that this fear has just won't, like, it won't let go. And I get along with God, and I read my word, and I've been through tests and trials, and I've been around like New Year's, not New Year's, but like Christmas, I was around so much drugs, and I left, you know, but I'm afraid still, you know, and it's a very manifested fear inside of me. Like in the, you know, how you feel in the gut of your stomach, and it's, you know, that it's coming from the inside out. Mm-hmm. It's not around you. It's coming from the inside out. And that's what scares me even more. You know, like, and I've been through like the test, you know, like you go through your stuff, you know, but I can't, that scares me. Like, I'm like, man, Lord, what is this? Cause it's inside of me. Mm-hmm. I can feel it, or this rage or anger, or, you know, just coming out. And it's like, man, one day that's gonna, I don't know what it's gonna do. And that's what scares me. Like,
do you know what I see, Quincy? I see that those are opportunities for freedom. You can look at this as I'm facing a giant and I have fear and this is a bad thing. Well, the fact that you can see it, first of all, is a blessing. Okay. And so the fact that you can means that God wants to deliver you from whatever it is that you're grappling with, but he wants to walk us through a process where he brings healing to any areas where we have believed a lie. We have believed a lie about God, about ourselves, about other people. Because that's where the fear comes from. Because perfect love, it says, casts out fear. So when I am perfected in God's love, I'm no longer living under the umbrella of fear. I no longer have fear residing on the inside of me. I'm living in perfect freedom, even in the middle of a storm. I can be going through an incredible storm, but I can be asleep in the back of the boat. Mm. Why is that? Because I'm living under God's peace, or in God's peace. Yeah. So the fact that I see these things rising up out of me from time to time, and we all do, like, if we're going to be honest on this Zoom call, I think all of us can say we all struggle with elements of one thing or another. Sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's something else, but those are opportunities. We're not to let those things destroy us or to draw us away from God. This is an opportunity to press into God and say, Lord, would you please show me what lie I am believing about you, or what lie I'm believing about myself? or what lie I'm believing about other people that's causing me to live in this cycle of fear. And you can bring an element of healing and freedom and truth. And the Bible says the truth itself will set you free. Can if I anybody share? Has anything to add to that, please do.
Can I share something?
No.
Okay, so
hi.
Hi, Philip.
Hi. I'm still in my work clothes. So from the story of David and Goliath, I keep hearing this word saying soul tie, which is tying my soul to what I'm looking at. So if I'm looking at Goliath as a giant, non-defeated, I will have fear. I will tie, my soul will be tied with this fear of man, especially fear of giant. But if I look at God, I will tie my soul to him, which is gives me the fear of God, which is, I like this sentence that I just got. It's like, I have the fear of God that I cannot not fight him. I have to fight him, but I have to fight him. I have to fight the giant, not for my glory, but for the name of the Lord. Who are you to mock the name of the Lord, to insult the name of the Lord? And then he started to fight, but he tied himself with the power of God because he looked at God. He saw Goliath from the eyes of God. And I shared this in the church one time. I heard it from actually Maher Faiz, one of the worship leaders in Egypt, saying the problem of the Israelites that they were looking at Goliath from their own eyes, which is they saw him as a giant. So they couldn't fight him. But David, when he looked at God and he lifted his eyes to God, God told him, let me take you where I am. And he started to lift him up, you know, when you go up, you see things getting smaller, right? So this giant became smaller and smaller and smaller, smaller, as David is getting high and getting the same, in not the same level with God, but he saw Goliath from God's eyes, which he's so tiny. And until he can see that he can put him in his hand. He was so small that he can fit him in his hand. This is how the powerful eye of God, you know. And then when he saw him that small, he went and said, well, I can fight you. God will... يحبسك اليوم الرب في يدي الايه
I'm getting it for you.
Go well.
This is I will come against you in the name of the Lord this day. The Lord will deliver you into my hands.
This is not normal. A giant like, well, how many feet? You cannot fit him in your hand. But because he saw him from a high place, from God's eyes, he saw him can fit in his eye, in his hand. And this is, I believe, that the power of looking at God and looking through God's eyes to the problems that we are facing. So soul tie, tie myself to the power of God instead of tie myself to the giant that I am seeing in front of me. Thank you. I'll go to my hiding now.
You know, Kunsha, there is one thing you said. You repeated that Jesus or God said, what? Don't be afraid, right? right? That's what the verse says. That's what Jesus said many times. Don't be afraid. If I'm correct, and you can correct to my grammar. And this is don't be afraid. That's a present tense. Like, don't live in this fear. Don't continuously be afraid. God didn't say don't feel fear. Okay? Jesus himself got hungry. Jesus himself got sad. Jesus himself got, you know, that cried and had feelings. And fear is some of the feelings that you and I have. Okay? It's normal to feel it, but what God doesn't want for us is that we live in it. Okay? So when I feel like something is coming my way, like when Elijah had that accident, of course we were afraid for him. Of course we got worried. But the thing is, we shouldn't live in this fear. We shouldn't live in that worry. Day after day, I face things at work. I think I shared with you guys, we started the Christmas Bible studies with Joseph, who did not really have the greatest first Christmas, right? I mean, his first Christmas, that poor guy was tough. If you guys remember the Bible study. But you know what? The angel of the Lord told him, do not be afraid. Okay? We want to deliver. Same thing that was said to Mary. Do not be afraid. Same thing that was said to anyone who met with God. To the shepherds. Do not be afraid. Okay? I know this is new. I know this is a new season. I know this is a new thing that I'm doing. Okay? Don't be afraid. I get that you're shocked. I get that you're surprised. I get that you are seeing or feeling something that you haven't felt before. Okay? And I get that. But I don't want you to live in fear that fear takes away, could have taken away the joy of Jesus being born from Joseph or from Mary, you know? So don't be afraid. It's normal to feel fear. But it's what God doesn't want us is to give into that fear. What God wants us to do is to fight back. Okay? One of the things I always say to myself when I feel like it's the storm coming, and one thing after another, I ask myself, okay, so I even not ask myself, ask the enemy, okay, so is that all you can do? What are you going to do about my salvation? Because you and I know, at the end of the day, that's what you're after. You're after my salvation. You're after all the ruins that I'm going to do in your kingdom. All the disasters I'm going to cause in your kingdom. Because he knows I'm going to cause disasters in his kingdom. And I know it too. Not by my might or strength, but by the power of God. You know, God is going to use us as a blessing. God is going to use every single one in this church as a blessing. Okay? So he's going to keep throwing stuff at you and at us. But what can you do with my salvation? Can you steal it? Can you take it? Because this should be any logical human being's biggest concern. Not the mortgage, not the work, not this, not that, but our eternal life. This should be any person's biggest concern. And Jesus already took care of that. And then sometimes I look outside, okay, the sky is still there. The sun is where it's at, the moon is where it's at, then God's still in control. He has not left control. So it's okay to feel it. But what's not okay is to give in and not to fight back. That's not what Jesus doesn't want that for us. He said, don't be afraid. Don't live in this fear. The Israelites, if we're going back to the story, stayed for 40 days living. 40 days and 40 nights living with that ugly voice in their heads. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to ruin you. You're going to be my slaves. I'm going to take your children. I'm going to take your daughters. I'm going to take your fields. I'm going to take your farms. I'm going to take your homes. Same stuff, right? It's the same stuff. Worry about our kids. Worry about our jobs. Worry about our homes. Worry about our surroundings. Same stuff. They heard it over and over and over and did nothing about it. But a man who came and saw God, as Philip said, saw how big and strong and how high God is, saw that Goliath is nothing but a little ant that he can squish with his own hand. Anything else before we move on? Go ahead.
No, we're good.
So tomorrow, can one or two people really quick tell me, because tomorrow I have a really hard day at work. When I face the enemy, what should I do? Really quick, just tell me a couple of words. I want you to say it because that's the only way we're going to remember it.
Worship.
That's amazing. I love that. Because what are we doing when we're worshiping? Tell me, Concha, what are we doing when we're worshiping God?
To me, it's my attention. Everything is on God. Everything is on God.
We're proclaiming his victory, right? We praise someone when we're at a basketball game, we're jumping up and down when our teams are winning. But when the Dodgers are, I mean, when the other teams are, when they're losing, we're not very excited. But we get so excited and jump up and down when our teams are winning, when we have victory. So tomorrow, Kuncha, I am going to be with you. I'm going to be worshiping all day because I'm declaring God's victory over the enemy that's going to face me tomorrow. Okay, so we're going to worship. What else? In Philip's word, we're going to get very high. Not that high. We're going to get high, like with God. What else? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Before we move on, we have a few minutes. Stop looking at your phone. Just kidding. Okay, we'll move on then. Okay, the second thing, okay, keeping our eyes on God helps us with our destiny and God's plans for us. Okay, we all know the verse. I know the plans for you, the plans to prosper you, the plans to give you success, the plans to go with you. We all know this, but someone didn't believe these plans. Can you please read from Exodus 3:11?
Says, but Moses said, sorry, Exodus 3:11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, for this will be the sign to you that it is not I who sent you, that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on the mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them?
Okay, so Moses at this point is a fugitive, okay? Someone who was actually asked to be killed because he committed murder in Egypt. And he's been in the wilderness for about, what, 40 years now? So he lost a step or two. You know, he is getting older and God is giving him a task that was never given before. God is giving him a task to go to the strongest nation on earth and the most stubborn as well and prideful and to tell them, I am here to ruin your economy because I'm taking the Israelites out. I am here to cause a diplomatic problems for you because I'm taking a whole nation out of your land and leaving this whole land, you know, empty, and all the tasks, all the things that they were doing are going to stop. Yeah, and I'm just going to do all of that by myself. I don't know about you, but if I have a dream, God telling me to go do that, I'm like, okay, right. God, I think, you know, you probably, you know, want to give me a smaller thing to start with, not this huge. See, a lot of us, you and I, think of the destiny and we hear God's plans for us and we hear these verses and we hear these encouragements and we think these are just encouragements by good people. Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor Albert loves us, you know, he wants to encourage us. So he tells us these big things, you know. You know, Philip always tells us great things. Pastor Mark, all of you guys are amazing, and we love to encourage each other, right? But we take it more as a compliment. But God doesn't just give compliments. God means it. When he told Moses, you go and you deliver the Israelites and you take them out of Egypt, he meant it. So when he told you that promise that you this morning or last week or a few years ago, when he gave you that promise, he meant it. He wasn't just giving you a compliment. He wasn't just like, oh, what, I don't have anything to do, let me just call Lena, you know, chit chat with her, and while we're talking, you know what, let me just tell her something that will lift her spirit up because, you know, the kids are driving her crazy or whatever. So no, that's not what God does. When he talks to us, he means what he's saying. So Moses, yes, you will go. And this is how you're going to do it. I will be with you. I know you're a fugitive. I know you're older. I know you're going against the biggest nation and strongest nation at the time. I know you're going for an impossible task. I know all of that. But here's what I also know. I will be with you. I will be with you. It makes a huge difference. On our way from Egypt this last time, to go to the airport, you have to go through a lot of checkpoints. And they're very, very strict checkpoints. You know, because they're worried about the terrorist attacks and the Muslim Brotherhood and all of that stuff in Egypt, right? And then this time, we had our luggage and everything in one car, and we rode with one of my friends who's got, like, who holds a big position in the government. And every time we walk, we drive by a checkpoint, all he has to do is take up his, you know, take out his card and shows it to the officer, and they immediately salute him, and then we drive by. No inspection, nothing, because that little card he had, because of the position he has. Can you imagine if we start using God's card? If we start opening our eyes that God is walking through this with us, that thing that he's been telling us about, that promise that he's been giving us, that task he's been telling us that we are able to do for so long, all of a sudden will become possible. What is the biggest thing that God has spoken to you about? You don't have to say it out loud. But just think about it right now. Take 5 seconds. What is the thing that when every time you think about it, like, oh no, God, I don't think this was God. I think it was just dreaming. I think this was just excitement. I think this was just whatever. Maybe I just watched a movie and I got, you know, what is it exactly that you feel like this task is too big, that it cannot be accomplished? Now, let's combine God in this situation. Are you a fugitive? I don't think so. Not that I know. Have you been checked out for a long time? 4 years or so? Isolated in the wilderness? Also, I don't think so. Are you going against Egypt? Probably. We're going against a kingdom that's much stronger than the kingdom of Egypt. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. Because what matters is that God is with us. I want you today, in Jesus' name, and I want myself, I'm going to remind myself before I go to sleep today, that I'm going to put these big tasks, these big promises, these big dreams that I have, big dreams I have, okay, that sometimes I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm going to put it back in God's hand and say, you can do this.
That's right.
Because you're going to walk with me through this. I want to hear your comments, and I want to hear your word.
I was reminded when you were sharing this passage about I will be with you, is the passage from Isaiah 41:10 that says, fear not, for I am with you. I am your God. Do not be dismayed, for I will help you. Yes, I will strengthen you with my righteous right hand. In other words, God is saying, don't be afraid. The same promise that was given to Moses, the same promise that was given to Israel, which, by the way, wasn't doing great spiritually at the time. Spoken by Isaiah the prophet, Israel was in a really bad place in their relationship with God. But God was drawing them back to himself. And in that process of drawing them back to himself, he was saying, don't be afraid, because I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. And that's his promise. He's saying, I am with you, and I will help you. I'll help you with my righteous right hand. And so that is not just something for him, but something also for us.
Amen. So take that tonight, take that tomorrow morning. And next time when you hear the word of God and you feel like this is a personal word, this is for me, but then so quickly you dismiss it because of the size of the task or because of our inability to do it or our failure in the past, or because Moses failed in the past. He wanted to help the Israelites and he failed, remember? Actually, he ended up being a murderer at that time. He wanted to help and he failed. He wanted to do it and he failed. But God is coming today with a different vision. Today, it's going to be different because God is going to be with him. God is with us. It's time for us to realize and to keep our eyes focused on him, to know that God is with me during this. And let me share with you the third thing really quick, and then we could close with that. Keeping our eyes on God will help us against sin. We talked about helping us against the enemy that will keep attacking. We could talk about it will help us with our destiny, but it will also help us against the sins that we have in our lives. The sin that's keeping us down, the sin that keeps our head down, that keep us living in shame, that keep us living in defeat. Let's read to you from Genesis 39:7, a story that we all know as well, but hopefully we can look at it in a different way today.
Genesis 39:7 says, now Joseph was well built and handsome. After a time, his master's wife looked at him with longing and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, as long as I am here, my master does not give me a thought to anything in the house, but has entrusted me to all that he owns. He has no more authority in this house than I do. He has withheld from me nothing but you, since you are his wife. How then could I do this great wrong and sin against God? Although she spoke to him day after day, he would not agree to lie with her and even be near her.
I love that, even be near her. See, Joseph started listening. I am here for a mission. I'm here to work. My master gave me all these tasks. I need to do it. But you're trying to commit a sin with me. Joseph was seeing God the whole time he was there, even though he had every reason not to see God. This is a kid that was stolen from his parents' house, from his father's house, was betrayed by his brothers, was sold as a slave. He's missing his father. He lost his mother. He's living a very hard and difficult life. And a lot of people nowadays, they try to justify their sins because of the circumstances they live in. If you work with youth, one of the first things they tell you, I am the way I am because of my parents, because my dad did this, because my mom did this, because of, you know, how I grew up. A lot of people, which I understand, it plays a big role. I get it. But Joseph was seeing God. How can I sin against God? He is seeing God in the room. The wife of Potiphar, she looks around and sees no one. And then she asks Joseph to sleep with her. I guarantee you, if her husband was in the room, she wouldn't say that, right? If other servants are in the room, she wouldn't say that. If Pharaoh was in the room, she wouldn't say that, right? Or she wouldn't act that way. But now it's an empty room. He's a slave. I can do whatever I want to do. Joseph looks in the room and he doesn't just see this person. He sees God. He sees his master. He sees his job. He sees the things that he's supposed to do. A lot of time we fall into the sins, and we all do. Okay? We all do without any exception. We fall into the sins we fall into because we're not seeing God in front of us. From the biggest sin to the smallest sin, if there are sins. But from the sin that we don't even consider to the sin that keeps us up at night. A lot of times we commit these sins because we're not seeing God in the room. If I'm looking and seeing God, I'm not going to tell this lie because I know he knows my heart. He knows what I have. He knows what I mean. If I'm looking and seeing God, I'm not going to offend my brothers and sisters. If I know that God is standing right next to me, I'm not going to look at that person the way I shouldn't look at them. If I know that God is standing right next to me and knowing and seeing my thoughts, I'm going to be very careful with every thought, and I'm going to capture it to the obedience of Christ. If this thought fits him, I'm going to let it pass. If not, then I'm just going to capture it and cast it out. A lot of times our spiritual progress is hindered by sins. And these sins are coming because we're not seeing God in our midst. But if I keep my eyes on the Lord always, always, he will be at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved because I am seeing God. God standing right in front of me. And when that temptation comes right next to it, right next to me, I'm not going to look because I am focused on God. He's watching me. He's seeing me. Okay? I want to hear your words. I want to hear your comments.
You know, one of the things about Joseph and his life is, unlike his father who had angels visit him and things of that nature, there's no record of that in the story of Joseph. He had a couple of dreams, but aside from the dreams, there was no special, great, marvelous experience, you know, that kept him from sinning or from going down the wrong path. He just had this incredible awareness of God. The eyes of his heart were just opened and he was able to see. And if he was able to experience that in the Old Testament, I think that's even more so available for us in the New Testament today, so that we can look up and see God, and that even if no one else is physically in the room, we know that he's always in the room present with us.
All right, so I think this is a good place to end today, if you guys don't mind. So read the verse again and just try to think and pray about these three things, because these are things that you and I are going to face tonight and tomorrow and for the rest of our lives. We're going to face the enemy, because the enemy is always going to be there. And by the way, he's not the one that's attacking. We're attacking him. We're attacking his kingdom. Okay. We're the ones that are taking the fight to him, but he's always going to be there. Okay, there is something that was stolen from you and from me, and it's time to restore it back. And that enemy that's standing in front of us, if we see God, he's going to look very small, very defeated. But if we're not seeing God, he is going to lock his gains, zakhair, ghanaim, his treasures.
Okay, yeah.
His treasures, his gains, the things that he stole from us, he locked it. It's secure. It's safe. We can't get it. But as soon as someone stronger shows up in the picture, He will defeat him. He will tie him down, and we can restore everything back. Seeing God will help us believe the plans and the destiny that he has for us. Our lives are not done. There is a lot of life for you and I to live. There is a lot of things for you and I to do and to capture. There is a lot of success to have. There is a lot of prosperity to have. And I'm not preaching this prosperity gospel, I promise. Okay? But there is a lot of success as believers, as the children of God. There is a lot of joy to have. There is a lot of souls to restore. There is a lot of things. There is a lot of people to set free. There is a lot of Egypt that needs to be broken into. There is a lot of pharaohs that need to drown in the seas. And you and I can help with these if we take God with us, if we decide that God is with us. And finally, something to set us free and to take us out of that shame and that life that keeps repeating itself, the sins that have been entangled with us for so long. You and I can be free of it, and we can be free of its effects and its hold on our lives when we see God. How can I sin against God? I don't think any of us here can realize what Joseph was going through in his life. I'm not saying that we didn't go through hard things. We all did and do go through hard things. But his circumstances were very special. But seeing God in front of him, kept him from sinning. And I'm praying that for you and for me tonight, that we would start seeing God and honoring God. And I guarantee you, if you see God, that the most stubborn sin you have in your life, the most stubborn sin that you have in your life that you've been struggling with since you were a baby, it will go away. Amen? Okay. Any comments or anything before we close? Okay, so I want you guys to think about this again. I'll give you a few highlights to think about for next week, because I don't want these pauses again, okay? I'm going to call you out. Today I was nice because it's the holidays, but next time I'm going to call you out if I hear any pauses. So write this down, please. Keeping our eyes on God will help us to wait for God's timing, the waiting game. You know how much we all love waiting, right? Keeping our eyes on God will help us with waiting. Keeping our eyes on God will help us see his glory in the midst of our pain. And we will be able to say that rejoice. We will be able to rejoice in the middle of our pain if we keep our eyes on God. And another one, keeping our eyes on God will help us when the storm hits during our journey of faith. This is different than the pain. This is different than, you know, the normal struggles and troubles and tribulations. This is something that I'm doing in faith and I'm doing great thing for God, and then something hits me. We see how we can deal with that while we keep our eyes on God. And then finally, keeping our eyes on God will help us give glory after every victory. So, four highlights I'm giving you. Giving glory to God after every victory. Help us face the storms during our journey of faith. Help us in the waiting game while we're waiting. And help us to give glory and to praise God even during the hardest times and our pain. Four highlights. Write them down. Think about it. Pray about it. And we're going to talk about it next week. Amen? Amen? You can just say amen. I'm not asking a question. This is just a simple amen. You can just say amen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Soraya, can you pray for us, please, to close the meeting? No, the other one. The other. Just kidding.
The other Soraya. Okay. Oh, Father God, Lord, our Jesus. Our friend, the one that knows us, Father God, better than anybody. And I thank you, Father, for the word that you're giving us today, Father God. And I know that each of us are in a different place, and you know what we need to hear, what we need to know, Father God. But we always, that we are in your presence, Father God, we feel your word, we understand, Father God, and I pray that we not only hear it and understand it, but apply it, Father God, that we sure do need it, Father God, to be able to be faithful and be with you, Father God, like we learned, Father God, in the storms, that we will remember whom you are and whom we are in you, Father God. And I pray that we continue having our eyes fixed on you, not in anything else, Father God. I pray for that. I pray for a good, restful night. And Father God, I pray for each of the families that are represented here. Father God, we pray for your protection, for your the Holy Spirit to be in us and continue teaching us, Father God, and guiding us and helping us grow in you as we need you, Father God. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.